Shipping can make or break a sale. As your business grows, ShipStation can help optimize how you ship orders so you can stay competitive while you scale up. Whether you're shipping 100 packages a month or thousands, ShipStation lets you automate routine shipping tasks and easily handle returns. Optimize and keep up your momentum for growth with ShipStation. Use promo code RESPECT today at ShipStation.com to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, promo code RESPECT. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and those who don't identify as either, you are listening to Ratchet and Respectable. I'm hurt, y'all. I have been gallivanting around this city. I went out last night to the macro party. The first time I went, I just moved to LA. It was one of the best parties I had ever been to in my life. And I was like, I made the right decision moving here. Oscars week in LA is an anomaly. Not even Oscars week, award season, because it's literally an entire season, starting with the Emmys. I said last night, the Oscars is the end of award season. And I was corrected, like, no, the NAACP awards are next week. These people have been going out nightly since the end of January. We are in March. One of my really good friends didn't go to the party last night. And I was like, how could you skip the macro party? It's like the equivalent of the Louisiana party for CBC. At least when Cedric Richmond was still in Congress. That was a good ass party. T.I. performed 1 year. I think Lil Wayne performed 1 year. That's not the point. The point is, the macro party is one of my favorite parties in LA. My friend wasn't going. And I was like, but you can't miss this party. And she was like, I have been partying for 6 weeks. I'm tired. Which I was like, I get it. I've been on the West Coast since Friday, but I've only been in LA since Monday. I'm tired. 6 weeks of this? Sometimes I feel like I didn't give LA a fair shot because I moved here April 2019 and then COVID happened in March. So just when I was getting my footing, just when I got my place together, because I was like, I'd be damned if I'm gallivanting in the street and still sleeping on an air mattress and ain't got no couch. Priorities, D, priorities. Also didn't have a job when I moved out here. I had a podcast that I just started. I hadn't monetized it yet. And I had a savings account. I ain't stupid. But still, I was out here on wishes and prayers, hoping I could make something work. My thinking was, I built a couple brands before. It's a Bell in Brooklyn, Don't Waste Your Pretty. Surely I can do it again, right? It all worked out. See, some world was pre-LA. But Ratchet and Respectable, I mean, I started it in January and then moved to LA in April. I don't feel like I really gave LA a shot, though, because, like, COVID happened. And by the time I left LA in 2022, things were just starting to open back up where you didn't have to have like a COVID test or have your vaccination card to get into events. And then folks were still recovering budget wise because so much stuff had been shut down. I don't know. I got to remember not to base my impression of LA off of this week because I am having the time of my life. It's so great. All my friends are here. I mean, the ones that don't live in New York or Atlanta or DC, but I know a lot of people out here. Every time I go out, like I run into like everybody because everybody's outside. It's so good. I run into people I haven't seen in years. Like I ran into this guy last night and I was looking at him because I know him from New York. And I was looking at him and I was like, is that so-and-so? It can't be so-and-so because so-and-so is in New York. And I was like, but you're here and you're supposed to be in Africa. I was like, this is how people feel when they see me. Like, is that D? Because D's not supposed to be here. I'm here. He's here. But I was like, oh my God, when did you move to LA? And he was like, are you serious right now? I'm thinking the man moved while I was gone. He was like, I've been here 10 years. He was like, I was part of that first wave of New Yorkers. Like people were still calling me crazy when I moved. And then they all moved out here. And I was like, well, yeah, I do remember that wave. It wasn't the first. I did have a couple friends move to LA. And I thought they were crazy. 5 years later, I moved to LA. Look at that. Oh, the macro party. Do you remember a few years ago, I told this story about how I went to a party and I saw Damson Idris and Amin Joseph. And then the next day I did a recap of the party gushing about how gorgeous they were. And they saw it. And we had a whole little love fest on social media. And then they sent me, both of them, such classy gentlemen. They sent me chocolates and red wine as a thank you for just, I don't know, celebrating black men. Both of them said, like, we don't get a lot of praise. We don't get a lot of love. And so when it happens, like, we really appreciate you. So thank you. And I was like, aw. But also, like, y'all are two of the finest men I've ever seen in my black life. Like, you don't get love like you think you should? Are you not feeling the love from the people? I was like, sirs, you are loved. Sometimes folks just need to hear it. God bless them. I ran into a man last night. I'm going to name drop real quick because I just thought it was the funniest thing. If you follow me on Instagram, Amber Riley and I have been having this little love fest for like the last 2 or 3 weeks or so. I've always known who she is, but just in the last couple months, I've become like obsessed with Amber Riley. So last night, I saw her and I was like, is that Amber Riley? And I was like, no, that's not Amber Riley. She's like tiny in person. She's shorter than me and I'm 5'3". LA people in general are just a very like, not tall people, especially the men. Like the men are tiny. But I saw her and I didn't want to freak out or be too familiar because she's a friend in my head and I have to remind myself I don't know her in real life. But then we caught each other's eye. You know how black girls, we just like vibe or whatever, right? I squealed inside and she actually screamed outside. Like it was great. We like hugged and had like a whole rocking moment. It was wonderful. I saw Tika Sumter on the dance floor, who is real life black Barbie. Like she's one of the most beautiful women. Her, Kelly Rowland, Coco, Tennis Coco, that's on the cover of Vogue right now, and they fucked up the picture. How you fuck up Coco? She's literally a black Barbie. Like, she is one of the most beautiful women alive, and that picture is just, meh. I could do better on my iPhone. Why does Vogue keep fucking up black people on the covers? If you don't want us there, then just stop doing it. I'd rather you not put us on the cover than put us on there half-assed. It's like, you fucked up Usher, now you fucked up Coco? Maybe the pictures inside are better, but the cover... I was like, her hair is separating. Y'all don't got no Photoshop? You ain't got Facetune? I could fix that in Facetune. What are y'all doing? That's not the point. The point is, Tika Sumter is absolutely beautiful. And we were standing like right next to each other. I was trying to tell her, I love you. And she was like, I know you. Do you? Because we've never, to my knowledge, met. Like in the same room, but never met. So I introduced myself. I said, I'm Demetria. It's nice to meet you. And she says, oh my God. You're the girl on Instagram. You travel all the time. Yes, I am the girl on Instagram. I travel all the time. Aunt Viv from Peacock. Y'all know how much I love that show. I don't recap shows the way that I used to. My good shows ain't really on right now. You know how I feel about like The Gilded Age, Sex in the City, Hijack when it comes back. There's a few other ones. But when Bel Air comes back, I absolutely will be recapping. I met Aunt Viv. Another black Barbie, beautiful, just stunningly beautiful in person. Very regal woman. That regalness that she has as Aunt Viv, like that's not an act. She just walks around like she's queen of earth. I love it. Uncle Phil, he was walking around with his sunglasses on indoors. And I was like, is this an LA thing? Is he high? Really nice guy. Because I told him, I was like, I'm a huge fan of the show. Like I watch every episode. I recap it online, blah, blah, blah. So we had a little chat. Very nice people. The actor that plays Jeffrey, he was there. I didn't get a chance to speak to him. I met him at ABFF a couple years ago. Standing in the damn airport with masks on. I think Bel Air was still on the air at the time. And I just walked up to him. And I was like, are you Jeffrey on Bel Air? Really nice guy. I'm trying to think. There were so many people in the room. Little Meech, who plays his daddy on BMF. He was there. I actually ran into him at a restaurant the other day. I love LA. I had lunch with the sales team from my podcast company. We went to this really cute restaurant. Oh, crustacean. Everybody knows crustacean because I posted pictures of the fish in the floor and I didn't say what the restaurant was. I just posted the pictures and a bunch of people hit me and was like, the garlic noodles. Fucking amazing. I got the ones with shrimp and I didn't eat the shrimp. Like I'm really in it for the noodles. But Meech and some of his friends walked in. I didn't even recognize him. He has cornrows. I was like, when was this show shot? Because his cornrows are like, you know, of length. I mean, I guess it only takes like 6 months to grow your hair up. Still. He was there walking around with security with a big ass chain and then a CD. And I don't mean like a chain in the shape of a CD. I mean like an actual like old school CD, like on a rope. I think it was an interesting choice. And then the actor that plays his brother on the show, he's in a bunch of stuff, but they were walking around together and I was like, oh, it's like real life, but not. There were a ton of people. It's impossible to name everyone. Niecy and Jessica, I saw them. I went to Uptown Honors on Tuesday, and Niecy got an award. I really do love them. I liked Niecy before I met her and Jessica for the Essence cover, which she mentioned in her speech at Uptown. I love that she's proud of that cover, that she's proud of that story. I personally think it's some of my better work. I usually don't go back and read anything once it's published because there's nothing I can do about it if I don't like it. But I reread that story because I had to send in clips for this artist residency that I applied for. And so I reread the story and I was like, oh, you did good, D. You did good. I'm trying to think, is there anything else memorable? Just a bunch of Negroes partying in a big ass room, having the time of their lives. There was a hip hop set. The DJ was good, full stop. And I don't go to clubs in the States. And I hadn't been to a party in a long time where people actually dance. People still dance at parties in LA. It's amazing. DC, take note. But the DJ played International Players Anthem and Throw Some D's on it back to back. Put this in context. Don Julio Tequila was the sponsor of the event. I'm drinking tequila and lime on the rocks with no chaser because I'm in LA. People are like, no, cut the juice, cut the calories, whatever. I got tequila in my system and then I'm standing near the speaker. So like the bass line is vibrating through my body. I think the production on Throw Some D's on it is one of the best beats I've ever heard in my life. I went into my zone. I was in a whole nother dimension. It was a really good party. I didn't stay long. I was home by 12:30 or so. LA doesn't party late. They be done by 2. But they kept turning the lights on. And I was confused. And I was like, oh, is the party over? I can't be caught out here with the lights on. Not after a night of tequila and dancing. Oh, absolutely not. And then also, too, the line for valet was insane. And like 1,000 people trying to get their cars all at once. We'd be standing out there for 2 hours. I was like, no. We can leave early. That's fine. Yeah, very good times. Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you're like me, you're ready for warmer, sunnier days. But is your skin? See, your skin goes through a big transition between seasons, not just on the surface, but at the cellular level. That's why it's important to nurture it from the inside out with products that do more than just protect against the sun's UV rays. OneSkin's products are powered by their scientifically proven peptide called OS1. This peptide reduces the accumulation of damaged aging cells, the ones that make your skin less resilient and more prone to lines and wrinkles. Instead of masking these issues, OneSkin addresses them at the cellular level, boosting your skin's natural barrier to lock in moisture and help protect against the elements. They have a full line of face and body products, including OS01 Shield, an SPF that prevents UV-induced aging and repairs cellular aging all at once. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code RATCHET when you check out at oneskin.co. No matter the season, keep your skin looking and feeling healthy with OneSkin. Now, I love using OneSkin. You can use it a bunch of places, but I just do face and eye. It's so simple. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily. That's it. And I love that it can be used with other products and it so easily fits into my current skincare routine. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code RATCHET at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code RATCHET. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with OneSkin. Shipping can make or break a sale. As your business grows, ShipStation can help optimize how you ship orders so you can stay competitive while you scale up. Whether you're shipping 100 packages a month or thousands, ShipStation lets you automate routine shipping tasks and easily handle returns. I've used ShipStation since the very beginning of my e-commerce business. I tried it out with the free trial. It's so easy to try things out before you commit, or you can sign up and get started right away. ShipStation is the most affordable way to ship everything you sell online. ShipStation has industry-leading discounted rates from USPS, UPS, DHL, and Global Post. Over 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation, including mine. And 98% of companies that stick with ShipStation for a year become customers for life. Optimize and keep up your momentum for growth with ShipStation. Use promo code RESPECT today at ShipStation.com to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, promo code RESPECT.
Being out in LA this week, it's all parties, it's all good times, like everybody's outside. But then I've been doing my lunches and brunches and such with my actual friends that live here. To hear on TV about layoffs and budget cuts and pilots, I don't remember the exact number, but just say, for instance, that every year, like 100 pilots are bought. But this year, there were only like 30. Shows are being canceled. It's really challenging out here. The actors that you see on TV and in film, obviously they're working. Obviously they have a little change. But the vast majority of actors, also the people behind the scenes, because there's more of them than there are actors, folks are really, really hurting out here. And I know that goes across industries. There are seemingly mass layoffs or budget cuts in every single industry right now. But most of my friends work in media and entertainment, and that's usually the first thing to go. Everybody loves their media. Everybody loves their entertainment. It's so very necessary until budgets get tight. I feel like those two industries are the first to get hit. Also, diversity and inclusion. I remember reading an article a few months ago, 3 or 4 black women who worked in diversity and inclusion roles, their jobs were cut all in the same month. That seems to be happening throughout the industry here as well. As well, black folks are getting cut left and right. So if media and entertainment are the first industry to go, black folks tend to be the first to go when the budgets start getting cut at all these jobs. It's hard. This week is very much an illusion. LA is one giant illusion, at least the Hollywood part of it. I wouldn't say all of LA. Especially like the natives. The natives here tend to be, you know, regular like everybody else. Those pesky transplants, of which I was one for a while. I like the illusion for the moment, but quite honestly, I've been on the West Coast since, what did I say before? I think I left Thursday morning. I'm ready to go home. Like, I ordered breakfast this morning from Egg Tuck. When I lived downtown, I used to walk, 7 avenues? That's my part of my morning walk. But I Grubhubbed my breakfast this morning at the hotel. I think the total for room service for just like an omelet, some hash browns, and a coffee totaled up to something like $65. And I was like, go fuck yourselves. I understand it's LA, but I was like, this is ridiculous. So I Grubhubbed my breakfast. The total order was $23. I ended up paying $38 with taxes and tip for the driver and 2 different kinds of other fees. And I was like, no, I need to go back to Maryland. Hell, back to Ghana. I miss Ghana. Every time I hear Afrobeats, which is, you know, basically nonstop, because Afrobeats have taken over the world. Not even just black world, white world too. I moved to the Dream Hotel in Hollywood. I was upstairs at the pool, or basically the restaurant by the pool, because it was raining, yesterday. And it was like all Afrobeats. And I was like, are you serious? Yeah. I didn't realize, because, you know, I'm in Ghana. I didn't realize Afrobeats had literally taken over the whole world. What else is on my list of things to talk about? Layoffs are bad. The macro party. I touched on the Uptown party. That was fun. A good budget, well spent, as was macro. It's one thing I love about LA. They will open the bar and they will properly feed you at every event. You will never leave an event in LA hungry. Like last night, they were passing around pizza, like full pizza slices. And I was like, are you kidding me? No. And then towards the end of the night, they were handing out dessert. And I was like, are you serious? Ghana feeds you too. I got too used to those New York budgets for all the years I was living there. Some New York events will open the bar and feed you well, but not all. It's not guaranteed. I've never been to an event in LA where they don't feed you. This city is so seductive. I just have to keep telling myself it's an illusion. It's not this way when you live here. It's not this way when it's not award season. It's not. It's not. We need to talk about these Oscar nominations. Since I'm talking about being out here partying for the Oscars, we might as well talk about who actually could be winning one. I don't think we went through the list. Even if we did, it was a while back when it first came out. But the Oscars are Sunday. So let's see who among our black family, our brown cousins, are up for Oscars this weekend. Is there an Oscar party in D.C.? Are people gathering to watch the Oscars? I would like to gather. Best actor in a leading role. I'm reading this on Oscars.org so you know it's official. Best actor in a leading role, Coleman Domingo for Rustin. I went to a screening of Rustin when I was home in October or November. What is Emile Wilbekin's organization? He has an organization for gay black men. Native Son. They did a screening in New York and me and my friend Will went. I thought Coleman Domingo was amazing. I turned to another one of my friends I was sitting next to at the screening and I was like, I think it's really good. But I was like, do you think it's Oscar? I also thought he did a great job as Mr. Too. Color Purple didn't quite get the nominations that I had hoped for it. And even if it did, like I remember reading about the first version of the Color Purple, the one from 1980s. They got a ton, like a slew of nominations for the Oscars and didn't take home a single one. So even if The Color Purple was nominated a bunch of times, it's no guarantee that it would have won anything. But Best Actor, again, is Coleman Domingo for Rustin, and then also Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. I can't call it. Jeffrey Wright was phenomenal in American Fiction, as was Sterling K. Brown. I think we talked about American Fiction in detail on a previous episode, but Jeffrey Wright really did his thing. American Fiction, I thought, was just a really great movie. It wasn't what I was expecting, even though I read the book, I mean, years ago. I just remember the basic premise, but Jeffrey Wright did a really good job. I mean, in general, I'm rooting for everybody black, so Coleman Domingo and Jeffrey Wright, if either one of them won, I'd be fine. Best Actor in a Supporting Role, Sterling K. Brown, American Fiction. I talked about how much I loved his role. We did the recap of American Fiction. Best Actress in a Leading Role, nobody black. Emma Stone is nominated. I mean, obviously she's not black, but I saw the previews for Poor Things. It's not playing anywhere. I'm like, how do I get to see it? I saw the previews for Poor Things again when I was home 3 months ago, but it came to theaters and went. It's not there anymore. You know what else is not in theaters and I've been trying to see? Renaissance. I don't know where to see it. It's not playing in any theaters. It's not on a streamer. It's not available to purchase. I feel like I'm the only person on earth that hasn't seen Renaissance. That and like the whole country of Ghana, because it never screened there. But I feel a way. I want to see Renaissance. I don't know where to see it. But I also want to see Poor Things, because I really like Emma Stone. I think she's a really great actress. Under the category of actress in a leading role, I haven't seen any of the films, so I can't weigh in at all about who should win. And there's nobody black, so. Best Actress in Supporting Role, Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. I really got to see this movie. This is another one. Where do I see it? She's been racking up all award season. She's won at least 2 big awards, maybe 3, because I can picture her acceptance speeches. America Ferrera, our brown cousin, is nominated for Barbie. She gave that really good, if on stage it would be called a soliloquy, but monologue about all the, what's the word? Confines? Is that the right word? All the bullshit women got to put up with. All the bullshit, all the boxes that women have to navigate and are expected to fit in, although no one actually fits in them. Unfortunately for her, I cannot root for her. I want the best for her. If she won, I wouldn't be too mad. But Divine Joy Randolph is in this category, and also Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple. Is she the only cast member from The Color Purple that was nominated? I think so. Oh dear. And I thought she was phenomenal, but I also thought Fantasia was phenomenal, and I also thought Taraji was phenomenal, and I also thought, what's the guy that played Dre in the NWA film? Corey. What's Corey's last name? I thought he was phenomenal. I'm not mad at all that Danielle got nominated. I would have liked to see Taraji because she was really good as Shug Avery. And also Fantasia. I thought she was really good as Celie. Like, she transformed for that role. I thought she did such a good job. I would have nominated her. And by her, I mean Taraji and Fantasia. But no, between Danielle Brooks and Divine Joy Randolph, I think it may be Divine Joy Randolph because she's been just racking up all award season. I got to see The Holdovers to see like what the hell she's doing on this screen. I remember her from, what was the Eddie Murphy movie? It was Eddie Murphy's comeback movie on Netflix about Dolemite. She was the woman in that all-male circle. And she did a really, really, really good job in that. So I know she could act the ass off. I just want to see what the hell she's doing in The Holdovers. That she is just racking up all these awards. How the hell do I see this film? Let's see. Animated, nothing black. Cinematography, nothing black. Costume design, nothing black. But I did see Napoleon. Those costumes were really good. The cinematography for Napoleon was really good. It was a beautifully shot film. It's just the storyline. It's not even the storyline. Because, I mean, Napoleon's story is fascinating. It was just the way the story was told. I'm like, how do you fuck up Napoleon? And I was waiting on that film. I was so excited about it. Best directing, nobody black. Documentary feature film, nope, nobody black. Documentary short film, just based on the title, it's called The Barber of Little Rock. Let me Google this real quick. Just because it's a barber and it's Little Rock, I knew it was black. I knew it was black. I knew it was black. Okay, it says Barber Arlo Washington forms a nonprofit community bank with a visionary approach to a just economy that could reshape the future of banking. The People Trust fosters economic progress for underserved residents in Little Rock. Aren't you glad I looked that up? Because I would have thought it was a documentary about a barber in Little Rock. It's so much more. Film editing, nobody black. International feature film, nothing from a black country. Makeup and hair, no black show. Music original score, nothing black. Music original song, nothing black. Best picture, American Fiction. I would love to see it win. I don't know that it would. I'm a root for it anyway. Production design, Napoleon and Barbie are both on here. Poor Things. Animated short film, nothing black. Live action short film, to my knowledge, nothing black. Sound, nothing black. Visual effects, nothing black. Writing adapted screenplay, American Fiction, by Court Jefferson. Apparently he was at the party last night. Somebody was looking for him. Or maybe he wasn't at the party and that's why they were looking for him. I thought somebody said they saw him. I don't know. I don't know what Court Jefferson looks like. I couldn't pick him out of lineup. But I know he wrote his ass off for American Fiction. So I'm rooting for him. He's also the only black person in the category. But even if he wasn't, no, I'd be rooting for both the black people because I root for everybody black. Nothing personal. And then writing original screenplay, nobody black. There's some black people to root for. I always want to see more black people. It's not quite enough black people for me. Not even quite. It's not enough black people for me. But there are some black people and brown to root for. One of my favorite things on earth, watching the pre-show for the Oscars. The Oscars and the Met Gala. So much joy. I was putting together the Amazon list. I swear this Amazon storefront is coming. I'm not lying about it. I was working on it yesterday. There's a list of my favorite movies for, like, you know, watching on the plane or waiting in a hotel or long layovers, like whatever. You can download them on Amazon. But I was putting together this movie list and I have The First Monday in May, the documentary about the Met Gala, on the list. I live for the Met Gala fashions. I mean, I drag half of them, but I live to see them and drag them. I would like to go to the Met Gala one day. I have that on my bucket list for my life. Oh, Essence Black Women in Hollywood. I didn't mention it because I didn't go. And I didn't go because I didn't get an invite. I don't show up where I'm not invited. Even the macro party. I think the party started at 9. I didn't get an invite till 5:30, 6. But I got an invite. I crash parties in D.C. or New York. Maybe even Ghana. There's a likelihood I can probably get in. But Essence Black Women in Hollywood has a notoriously strict door. I used to go for years and would watch people get turned away. I'm not trying to get all dressed up and pay a makeup artist for a professional beat to get to the door dressed to the nines and be turned away. I was like, oh no, absolutely not. It's just enough people who would recognize me to be like, did you see Demetria tried it? Absolutely not. That will not be my narrative. Absolutely not. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like checking in your baggage at the airport without a lock. You think your stuff is kept private, but you never know who's going through your stuff. When you go online without a VPN, internet service providers can see every single website you visit. They can legally sell this information without your consent to ad companies and tech giants who then use your data to target you. When you use ExpressVPN, internet service providers cannot see your online activity. Your identity is anonymized by a secure VPN server, and your data is also encrypted for maximum protection. I use ExpressVPN on all my devices, phones, laptops, even my routers, so everyone that shares my Wi-Fi is protected. I love it because it's so easy to use. You just fire up the app, click one button, and you're safe. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/ratchet today. That's expressvpn.com/ratchet. And you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/ratchet. What New Year purchases would you put on a credit card? Maybe supplies for a new semester or gym memberships? No matter how you're starting off the year, when you use the secure Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can build your credit scores with on-time payments for everyday purchases. If there were an overachieving credit card that helps you build credit, this would be it. Plus, there's no annual fee, interest, or credit check to get started. I love my Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. And I love that I can build credit using my own money. Also, with Chime, you can get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. And you have access to more than 60,000 fee-free ATMs. That's more than the top three national banks combined. Start building your credit. Open a Chime checking account with at least a $200 qualifying direct deposit to get started. Get started at chime.com/ratchet. That's chime.com/ratchet. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank North America or Stride Bank North America, members FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and over-the-counter advance fees may apply. Call 1-844-244-6363 for details. Late payment may negatively impact your credit score. Results may vary. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
That's not everything, but I think that's what we got for the day. I've got a super busy day. I'm recording this at 10:06 a.m. on Friday. I have to check out the hotel in a couple of hours. I have a lunch date at 1. Remember I told you, like, when I first moved to Ghana, this really well-known and high-ranking TV exec reached out to me and was like, I love your life. What are you doing with this story? But I hit her when I got to LA and I was like, are you around? Are you in town? I know you're super busy this week. I would love to see you. And then she followed up and was like, lunch? Yes, ma'am. That's one thing I will say about being in LA. Everyone keeps asking me, like, where's the story? Where's the book? Where's this? Where's the that? Where's the script? Where's the this? Not having it ready is kind of, I don't know. I feel like I should be doing more. My friend, he reminds me all the time. He was like, you do a lot. He's like, is there more you want to do? Sure. Is there more that you could be doing? Yes, but you also do a lot. Full stop. I was like, thank you. I need that reminder sometimes. That's the episode, I think. Because there's no big news this week. I'm not just going to talk your ear off to talk about nothing. I went through the screenshots on my phone. Nobody's doing anything crazy like running off to Bali to hang out with the alleged sexual predator. I saw Jussie Smollett. I'm reading this on The Shade Room. Has successfully completed a 5-month rehab program and is preparing to release a new film. He's waging his Hollywood comeback. I'm fine with that. I'm not going to believe shit he says, but, like, you know, he is a good actor. I don't think what he did is so egregious that he should never work again. It's not like, you know, he sexually assaulted someone. Michelle Williams has a commercial. She's kind of poking a little fun at herself. I don't even remember what the commercial was for, nor do I care. The story for the commercial is Michelle says, I was in one of the most iconic girl groups and no one recognizes me. It seems she feels like the third wheel in Destiny's Child, which, I mean, you're not going to out-popular Beyonce. And then, you know, Kelly's Kelly. And then Michelle. I'm not mad at Michelle. I like Michelle. Michelle is really unproblematic. I mean, I know it's a commercial and it's just a little jokey joke, but I was like, just in case there's like some seriousness behind the joke, I'm like, sis, we know who you are. We love you. You haven't been abandoned. We still think of you. Like, you're our Michelle. We rock with you, sis. You're good. You're in good black standing. Black card intact. Invite to the cookout secured. There was something else I saw. Oh, Cam Newton and his girlfriend, Jasmine Brown, just had a baby. Is this his seventh baby? And third child's mother? Babies are blessings. I saw a comment once. I said something about Nick Cannon. I don't know which shit it was. 10, 11, 12, something. And I said, congratulations to Nick Cannon on the baby. And the person was having a meltdown. Like, you know, having all these babies out of wedlock is a disgrace. And it shouldn't be congratulated. And why is she acting like it's a good occasion? The baby's here, sis. Like, the baby's here. Just because I'm celebrating the arrival of a child. or a new life in the world doesn't mean that I'm celebrating him impregnating all these different women. I'm really just celebrating a new baby. It ain't the baby's fault his father won't use condoms. It's not his fault. But this isn't about Nick Cannon. He shouldn't catch strays. Okay, so what I'm seeing, it says Cam Newton shares 5 kids with his ex-fiance Kia Proctor and 2 kids with the ex before her. So his baby with Jazzy is the 8th child, her first, and she's the 3rd mother of his children. I bet his ass would get on his podcast and say he's high value too. I saw Country Wayne last night too. He was at the party with a big ass chain. I think it said Country Wayne. And I was like, you know we recognize your face, right? Especially in LA. High value man. I'm calling him what he called himself. High value man. Chili became a grandmother. Okay. We're light on news. Every time I've done an episode where there's not much going on and it's very quiet, the following week is some explosive shit. The last time we did an episode and I was like, it's really not that much going on. Cassie's lawsuit dropped the following week. Let's see what happens next week. Stay tuned. All right. Bye.